to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 19 is where we'll be tonight. Second Kings 19. I know that I stated this last Wednesday. However, Lord willing, we will return to Isaiah 5 next Wednesday night, Lord willing. But I want to bring us here tonight, 2 Kings chapter number 19. You know, we advertise, and I use that word very loosely, but we advertise Wednesday night as prayer and preaching. We preach and then we pray, but the Holy Spirit has pricked my heart in recent weeks that we haven't been spending enough time praying. And so tonight, I simply want to bring us to a passage to remind us of the great resource that we have in prayer and then pray. And so I hope to at least dismiss maybe by 20 till, 15 till tonight. And it is a great resource, is it not? If not one of the greatest resources, maybe the greatest resource that we have as a child of God is the opportunity, Hebrews 4 tells us, to be able to go to the throne of grace any moment of the day, any second of the day. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to be around another Christian. You can go directly. By the way, that's the priesthood of the believer. We don't have to have a priest. We can go directly to the throne room of God and we can pray. And so I want us to look here tonight, 2 Kings chapter number 19. Let's begin reading in verse number 14 tonight, if we could. 2 Kings chapter number 19, verse number 14. The Bible says, "And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand," the letter of the hand of the messengers, "and read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open." Now, by the way, does he have to do that? We might say, well, that's a pretty bold statement. He's telling God to bow his ear, to bend his ear to him. No, Hezekiah does that because he knows he can. He knows God wants to hear. And he knows God wants us to pray to him. And he says, "Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee." What's the next word there? Save. "Save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." And so tonight, just for the next few moments, I'd like to speak to us on this thought that we find right there in verse number 14. Spread it before the Lord. Spread it before the Lord. Father, help us tonight. Just remind us. Just remind us of the importance of prayer, what prayer means, what prayer is. And Lord, I pray that you would use us to lift our voices to you tonight. We are a needy people, physically, spiritually, emotionally. We all have family and friends. We all have situations in our own lives. Father, we need you. We are helpless without you. Father, may we acknowledge that once again tonight. Father, may you remind us of that once again tonight. And no matter whether things appear to be going well or things appear to be very bad, Father, may we spread it before you. May we spread our circumstances and our needs before you and just lift our voices in prayer and beg you to bow your ear toward us and to hear us. And Father, we'll thank you for what you'll do in these next few moments. We love you tonight, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the kids and the teenagers that are gathered here tonight. Father, may your word have a lasting impact in their hearts even tonight. Father, may your word in conjunction with your sweet Holy Spirit. Sear the truths that you desire for our young people to hear tonight and to learn tonight and to grasp tonight. Father, may you sear them on their hearts. And then, Father, I pray the same for us in here tonight. Help us and teach us. May your Holy Spirit have freedom to move and work in our midst tonight. And we'll thank you for what you'll do in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to give you three statements tonight about a man who prays. Hezekiah was a man who prayed. And by the way, this is just one instance. We're not even going to go look tonight at chapter number 20 when he prays for when he was ill and he prays for God to heal him. We're not even going to go there tonight. We're just going to look at this one instance if we could tonight. But Hezekiah was a man who prays. And so I want to give us three characteristics of a man who prays tonight. Three actions, three characteristics, however we want to describe it tonight. But I want us to see a man who prays. Number one tonight, a man who prays is professing his powerless position. He is professing. When a man bows his head and his heart and bends the knee and prays to God in heaven, what is he doing? He is professing that he is powerless. And so he is professing, a man who prays is professing his powerless position. Look again with me in verse number 19, if you would. He says, "Now therefore, O Lord God," he's laid this letter. And I know we came into the middle of the context here. We'll go back and get a little bit of the context. But he lays this letter before an enemy king or from an enemy king. An enemy king has sent a letter and said, "Hey, Hezekiah, nobody's going to save you. Your God is not going to save you." And so he spreads this letter there in the house of the Lord. He spreads it before God and he prays. And he professes his powerless position. Hezekiah is facing foes. He is facing fears. And what does he do at that moment? He goes into the house of the Lord and he spreads the letter and he bows his head. I would imagine, I'm only imagining here tonight. It doesn't tell us in the passage here, but I imagine a man like Hezekiah probably fell prostrate on the ground with this letter before Almighty God and he's begging God to hear. You say, "Pastor, I don't think we have to beg God for anything." Is it wrong to beg God? He is the one that can answer. He is the only one that has the power to care for any need that I have. And so number one tonight, a man who prays is professing his powerless position. Drop back, if you would, to chapter number 18. Just real quickly, I want to read just a little bit. 2 Kings chapter number 18, get a little bit of the context here. A man who prays is professing his powerless position. So let me ask this question. A man who doesn't pray, what is he professing? Huh? Did you say full of power? He doesn't need God. He's full of power. I can handle this myself. I don't need God. And so when we don't pray and when everything appears and is seemingly going very well and we say, "Well, I don't need God right now," that's exactly when we need God. When things seem to be going well, that's exactly when we need to pray. Because we need to pray all the time, don't we? A man who prays is professing his powerless position. And I submit to us tonight that a man who doesn't pray is professing his heightened view of self. That, "Hey, I can handle this." Look, if you would, at verse number 20 of chapter 18. "Thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counseled." And by the way, this is Rabshakeh, this is Sennacherib's captain, if you would, one of his men. And he comes with a message to Hezekiah and the men of Jerusalem. He says, "Thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust in him. But if you say unto me," okay, maybe you're not going to say that Egypt is your trust, "but if you say unto me, 'We trust in the Lord our God,' is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and hath said to Judah and Jerusalem, 'Ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem'? By the way, look what happens when God's people do that which is wrong and someone else has to come back and fix it. What does the enemy do? The enemy says, whoa, wait a minute. Weren't these the altars where y'all were worshiping God? No. Those were the altars where they were worshiping the false gods. Hezekiah came and he tore them down. Hezekiah came and brought a semblance, if you will, of revival to Jerusalem. But the enemy said, oh, that you broke your own altars down. Verse 23. Now therefore I pray thee, give pledges to my Lord the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against his land and destroy it. Wow. Hey, the Lord sent me here to destroy it. You say you trust in the Lord, but he's saying he sent me here to destroy it. Drop down a little bit further, if you would, verse 33. Rabshakeh continues to threaten Hezekiah, and more specifically the men of Jerusalem and the Hezekiah's men. He continues to threaten them. In verse number 32, it says, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that ye may live and not die, and hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Notice verse number 33. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? He's asking him a question. Have any of the other gods of the other nations delivered any of the other nations out of my hand? Verse 34, where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand? And then back to chapter number 19, if you would, again, where we just read. Notice what Hezekiah says. Now Rabshakeh, he says all of that and even more in chapter number 19. We're going to skip just a little bit, but look what Hezekiah says in chapter number 17. Remember what was said in chapter 18. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? And in 2 Kings 19, verse 17, notice what Hezekiah says. He says, of a truth, Lord. He said, Lord, it's true. The kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand. You see, Hezekiah is a man who has foes coming against him. Hezekiah is a man who no doubt has some fear. But when all of that happens, he knows where to go. How do you know that, Pastor? Would you drop back to chapter 18 again? A man who prays, number one, is professing his powerless position. Look at the beginning of chapter 18. Verse number one, now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, 2 Kings 18, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And notice this, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, did. He was a good king. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. Notice verse 5. He, what's the next word? Trusted. And by the way, it wasn't just a little bit of a trust. Look what the Bible says. He, Hezekiah, trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Why? Because of his trust. He trusted the Lord. Continue on. Look at verse number 6. For he clave. Why did he trust the Lord? For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him. And he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. A man who prays, number one, is professing his powerless position because he trusts in the truth of Almighty God. And he understands, I am powerless, I am helpless, I can do nothing in and of myself. I need God, and not just any God. I need the God of Isaac and Jacob. I need the God of Abraham. I need the God of heaven. Number one, a man who prays is professing his powerless position. But number two, a man who prays is spreading himself before the supreme sovereign. He is spreading himself. And by the way, and all of his problems, he is spreading himself before the supreme sovereign. What did Sennacherib, through a letter and through his servant Rabshakeh, what did Sennacherib say? Nobody's going to save you. There's not another king, there's not another sovereign on this earth who's going to save you from me. Go look at all the other nations. Did their God save them? And he mentions a few of them in chapter number 18. We read in verse 34, where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? And he mentions some nations, if you will. He said, where are they? He mentions these kings. Where are they? A man who prays is spreading himself before the supreme sovereign. Look at verse number 15 in 2 Kings 19. Oh yes, Sennacherib. Sennacherib was strong. Sennacherib was a force to be reckoned with, was he not? When it came to kings and sovereigns on this earth, Sennacherib was a man to be reckoned with. But look what Hezekiah says in verse number 15. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel. Hey, you're different than the other gods. You're different than the gods that Sennacherib and Rabshakeh have mentioned. They were made out of wood. They were fashioned with hands. Verse number 18 says, they were no gods, but the work of man's hands. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims. I think that's a reference to his mercy. Remember the Ark of the Covenant in the holiest of holies in the tabernacle? And on the top of that Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat, seated between the cherubims. And the glory of God Almighty came down and rested upon that mercy seat. And he says in verse number 15, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God. Notice this, even thou what? What's the word? Alone. God, there's no other God. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. You're God alone. There's no other God. There's no other king. You're the only king that matters. And when a man prays, or a lady prays, or a teenager prays, or a boy or girl prays, they are professing their powerless position, but they are spreading themselves before the supreme sovereign and saying, listen, you are the Almighty. You are the authority. And you are the only one that has any ability to take care of my need. By the way, this is another message for another day. But I believe one of the reasons why Christians in every age, not just our age, but every age, have issues with the nose is because they don't remember, or they're not cognizant of the better yes. Let me explain that if I could. Think about Adam and Eve in the garden. They had one no, did they not? You can eat of every tree. I've brought you here to keep this garden. Just one no. You're not supposed to eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they still did it, didn't they? Because there was a moment when Eve, tempted by the serpent. By the way, you have 1 John 2:15 right there in at the beginning of Genesis. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All three of them right there. It looked good. It was good for fruit, able to make one wise. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all right there. One no. Why did they disobey the one no? Because they forgot how good the yes was. The Bible says God came down in the cool of the day and fellowshipped with them. And she's not sitting here tonight, but she normally sits here. Do you know why I can say no to all other ladies? Because I know how good the yes is with her. I know how good life is with her. I know how sweet our communion together is. I know how sweet our family is. And I would never... You say, Pastor, well, you're flesh and you can be tempted. Absolutely. Absolutely. I can be tempted just like any other man. But when we fall to the temptation, I submit to us tonight that one of the reasons why we do it is we forget how good the yes is. We forget how good God is. And we forget how good our fellowship with God is. And we forget how sweet our fellowship with God is. And many times we focus on the no's and we focus on, you know, Pastor Stark mentioned it a couple Wednesday nights ago. We focus on, nobody's going to tell me I can't do that. Okay? But are you going to have that spirit and you're going to miss out on how good serving God is? And you're going to miss out on how good fellowship and communion and worship with Almighty God is? Because of our prideful spirits, because of our spirits that nobody's going to tell me what to do. That was Eve. The serpent. Hey, Eve, you're not really going to die. And by the way, did she die immediately physically? No, but immediately spiritually she died. And she began the process of physical death. Because she forgot how good the yes is. And here's Hezekiah. And he's spreading himself before the supreme sovereign. And he's saying, God, I know how good you are. God, I trust you. No one before me, no one after me is going to trust you the way I do. I cleave to your word. I cleave to you. And he spread himself before the supreme sovereign. Let me give a third one. We'll be done. Number one. A man who prays is professing his powerless position. Number two, a man who prays is spreading himself before the supreme sovereign. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. You're the creator. You're the only God. Who else can I go to? Who else can I spread this letter before and get some help? And then number three, a man who prays is hoping to hear from heaven. And by the way, when I say hope, I'm talking about biblical hope. Biblical hope is different than our hope. Biblical hope is confidence. And a man who prays is hoping to hear from heaven. Would you look at verse number 20 of 2 Kings 19? Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have what? I've heard it. Hezekiah, I did bow down my ear. Would you drop down again? We're missing out on a little context, but would you drop down to verse 32? 2 Kings 19, verse 32. He begins to hear from God. Isaiah begins to tell him what the Lord said. Notice verse 32, therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall, what's the word there? Not. He shall not, next word, come. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. It came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. A man who praises, professing his powerless position. A man who praises, spreading himself before the supreme sovereign. Do you have needs tonight? Physical, emotional, financial, spiritual. Do you have needs tonight? Or maybe, hey, maybe everything seems to be going okay. Can I tell you, we still have needs. By the way, can I tell you, there are individuals on this prayer sheet tonight that even though things seem to be going well for you, they have needs. There are individuals on this prayer sheet tonight who need to be saved. There are individuals on this prayer sheet tonight who need to get right with the Lord, who need to come back, who they give a testimony of salvation, and I truly believe they are, but they need to come back to Him. They're away from Him. There are individuals on here tonight who have physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs. There are missionaries on the back who every day need our prayers. They have needs. We need to ask God to provide every single need, whatever it may be, financial, emotional, spiritual, physical, because they have the same needs that we do. And we need to spread ourselves before the Supreme Sovereign, hoping, confidently hoping that we're going to hear from heaven. A man who prays, that's why he's praying. Because he knows he's helpless. But he knows he's all powerful. He's almighty. He's the only God. He's the only authority. He's the only one with ability. So tonight, let's spread ourselves and spread our needs before the Lord tonight. And let's pray. Amen. Father, thank you for the time you've given us tonight. Lord, may you help us as we pray. Lord, as Hezekiah said, Lord, we ask that you would bow your ear toward us, as David asked so many times, that you would incline, that you would bend your ear toward us, and we ask for that tonight. And Father, I pray that we would simply, whether it's needs that we personally have, or needs in our church family, or needs that maybe nobody else in here tonight, individuals that we know, nobody else knows, maybe a family member, maybe a friend, who needs help tonight, Father, may we spread that before you tonight, acknowledging we're helpless, we're powerless, acknowledging that you are the God, the God alone, and you have all power. And Lord, may we pray expecting to hear from heaven. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the example of Hezekiah. Help us as we pray, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. It's about a